Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 420th episode of MTG Fast Finance, the podcast that's ready to rumble when the weeds do tumble. MTG Fast Finance is your weekly podcast covering the world of Magic the Gathering finance, collection management, and speculation. I am your host, James Chilcott, a.k.a. at MTG Critic on Twitter. My co-host is Cliff Daigle, a.k.a. at Word of Commander on Twitter, and we're here to help you folks make and save money playing our favorite game, Magic the Gathering.
Hello, everybody. As always, I'm looking forward to diving into all the developments of the week. But before we do, I want to remind all of our listeners that this show is produced by MTGPrice.com, the leading MTG finance community. Please sign up today at MTGPrice.com to plan your specs, chat on a great Discord, and read articles by some of the best financial minds in the hobby.
MTG Fast Finance is proudly sponsored by Cool Stuff, Inc., where you can find all sorts of cool, nerdy stuff in stock, including all the best in Magic the Gathering singles, sealed product, and a plethora of other collectibles. Use the promo code FINANCE5 during checkout at CoolStuffInc.com to save 5% off your order and support this podcast, a discount I know you and I have made good use of many a time, my friend. Cliff, what is on our agenda this week?
We're going to lead off with the Metagame Week in Review. We've got the Grand Open Qualifier in Prague to talk about, and then a Pioneer Challenge. Segment two is our top movers in paper. We've got some stuff that's really on the move. Then our top movers online follows that. Segment four, you and I have cards to watch. And then our topic this week is some of the commanders who are in the most popular slots for the last week or two and how they're causing all this price movement.
We'll start by jumping on into the Metagame Week in Review, taking a look at the Grand Open Qualifier Prague from March 23rd. Of this past weekend, 563 players, so a pretty good temperature gauge, at least for the European market, as to what's going on in Modern. And this one was taken down by the Ascendant archetype of the last month or so, Esper Reanimator, running four Atraxa Grand Unifier, four Grief, four Gristlebrand, three Solitude, and a package of cards that lets you either get them into play out of the yard or flicker them in and out of play for ridiculous effect.
I mean, the only thing better than casting Goryeo's Vengeance on an Atraxa Grand Unifier is when the sacrifice trigger is on the stack, you flicker that bad boy with the Ephemerate. Like, that just, if that doesn't put a song in your heart, you need to check your pulse.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nasty when the deck really gets rolling. Black Green Yawgmoth was in second. Five Color Domain, featuring four Leyline of the Guild Pact, four Scion of Draco, four Territorial Cavu, and then the Grief package in third place. Hardened Scales making a relatively rare appearance in a major top eight. In fourth place with three Agatha's Soul Cauldron and four Zabaz, four Hardened Scales naturally. Fifth place was Amulet Titan with four the One Ring, four of the namesake Titan itself, and four Dryad of the Elysian Grove. Black Red Scam still making appearances, and it looks like that tweak of getting rid of Fury was pretty much exactly what was needed to keep the deck in the format without making it too dominant. We see it, you know, week after week, but it's usually one copy in the top eight instead of three, so that looks like a very dialed ban at this point. In the slots that have been freed up in that deck, you have four Inti and four Stalactite Stalker, both out of LCI from this fall.
Yeah, just cheap, effective beaters. You know, Modern is ready for something like this, and Inti is just really, really powerful. If you haven't had a chance to play with or against this card, it really can get out of hand and generate card advantage just by attacking. And since you're already playing Raghavan and Stalactite Stalker, Inti means you're getting smacked down for two or three damage right there on turn two. So, and you're getting to exile things. Raghavan's going to give you a treasure. Stalker gives you value. Orcish Bowmasters for funsies. It's just good all around.
Indeed. We also have Blue-White Control in seventh place. Another deck we don't see all that often in Modern top eights, but this has four the One Ring, four Solitude, and two Subtlety. So the One Ring still making appearances in all sorts of different archetypes. Just that good. Blue-Red Murktide finishes up this top eight. Over in the Pioneer Challenge on Saturday, March 24th of this weekend, we have a pretty wild deck here taking this thing down. It's a green-white Yorion Toolbox. 2 Court of Calling, 4 Collected Company, 4 Kayla's Restoration, and that's 41 creatures in this Yorion shell.
I mean, this is beautiful. I love any Yorion deck, and this one is an especially beautiful example of what you can do when you just say, all right, I've got 20 extra slots, and I know what I want to be doing. I want to be doing lots of broken things and so many, like, just one and two ofs all over the place. The 4 Selfless Spirit. We got 4 Prosperous Innkeeper, and then 4 Voice of Resurgence. So all the rest of these are just like...
Yeah, talk about a toolbox deck. This has got Kellen, Daring Traveler, Eidolon of Rhetoric. It's got Ambitious Farmhand, Knight of Autumn, Kut Sleaze Flanker, Malira the Living Cure for that combo, Nissa Vastwood Seer, Redain God of the Worthy, Sanguine Evangelist, Selfless Spirits, Sentinel of the Nameless City, Skyclave Apparition, Spirit of the Labyrinth, Tranquil Frillback, 4 Voice of Resurgence. I mean, okay. I guess green-white toolbox is a thing in Pioneer now.
Why not, man?
Second and third was both Mono Black Waste Knot, another Ascendant deck in this format. 4 Waste Knot, 4 Shieldred, and 2 Liliana of the Void in the first list. And the second one had 3 and 3 for Shieldred and LOTV. Amalia Combo in fourth. Enigmatic Yorion in fifth. Blue-Red Arclight in sixth. Lotus Field in seventh. And then another Atraxa deck making another top 8. Transmogrify into Atraxa alongside Eska's Chariot, Fable of the Mirrorbreaker, etc. No other creatures in the deck, so they just get a bunch of tokens in play with these value cards and then look for the Transmogrify to get the Atraxa and really put it away.
I mean, we all want to find a way to cheat a card in that has Flying, Death Touch, Lifelink, and Vigilance. And so... So you got all the great abilities, plus it comes into play, and you get a whole bunch of cards into hand, so you can just do all the things again. It's just nothing but greatness, and this is a card that screams out, find a way to cheat me into play, and by golly, people are doing that.
Really feels like Atraxa is probably too cheap in most versions right now, given the amount of play she sees across Pioneer, Modern, and Commander.
I think there's nothing I like more in this than the Case of the Stash Skeleton, which is the 2-mana case from the new set from Murders at Karlov Manor that gives you a creature token. And then if you have no creature tokens, you can sack it to Demonic Tutor for whatever you need. So that, like, you've transmogrified for your Atraxa. Oh, did something happen? Well, I got a Demonic Tutor sitting on the board. That's a beautiful thing, man. What a great piece of tech.
Yeah, we got Atraxas sitting at market price of about $27, $28 in foil, but those foils look like they're set to pump. Only 15 listings, and the lowest foil price now is about $41. This has been going up, up, up since mid-December, where they were down closer to $16 or $17. Will not be surprised at all to find out that in 6 months Atraxa has been a hard hold. Now, there's always the chance they're going to give us something ridiculous that's even better than Atraxa in Modern Horizons 3, but that's going to be quite the push creature.
I mean, is Atraxa... Right now, you're asking yourself, like, which would you rather have in hand? Would you rather reanimate the Atraxa or the Gristlebrand?
Sure.
You know, it's chocolate and peanut butter. They'll give us something else ridiculous to do, I'm certain. But I don't know if it'll be better. They'll just add it to the deck. You'll play 2 Atraxa, 2 Gristlebrand, and 2 or whatever the other thing is.
Over in the top, Paper Movers. We've got a whole bunch of motion being driven by the Fallout release alongside some other dynamics in play. We've got Vorinclex Monstrous Raider Phyrexian version finally showing some life, $35 to $50. That's in 73,000 decks on EDH Rec since release. That's non-trivial. 43% gains as that starts to drain out in the face of no reprint whatsoever since its original multiple versions. Nissa Resurgent Animist Retroframes out of Aftermath, 21 to 31. That's a combination of standard and modern play driving that. The Omnath 4 color decks in modern make use of it, and there are a few different builds that are using it in standard. 47% gains. The Spirebluff Canal Borderless Doctor Who Secret Lair inclusion, people kind of shrugged off like it was going to be no big deal, but when that happens with a Secret Lair, that can often be good for some relatively quick gains. And indeed, we have $21 to $33 this week on those copies, 57% gains as the market finds this demand a little deeper than the shallow inventory that was present. We have Reckless Endeavor extended art out of Adventures of the Forgotten Realms commander cards that would have been found in the collector boosters for that set. $11 to $18, that's going to be Mr. House driving that, because I think you roll two D12s on that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And Mr. House does not care. Mr. House does not care how big the die is. So the bigger the die, the more broken Mr. House is. And as a result, anything that rolls D12s, D20s is in hot demand if it's in the right colors for House.
Plus, Reckless Endeavor rolls two dice, and you get to care about both because you don't ignore one result. So you're going to get two robots out of this card. It's a lot of fun.
Vorpal Sword, ampersand promos going 15 to 25. 32,000 decks on EDH Rec. I couldn't find any specific reason for this to be moving other than that the Deck of Many Things rolls dice, and that ampersand promo went 12 to 45 on the back of Mr. House, 275% gains. So that would lead me to believe that maybe the Mr. House, the people that were trying to clean up Mr. House back, started poking around at the other ampersands and found that Vorpal Sword had relatively shallow inventory and decent EDH play. We also got Locket of Yesterdays out of Time Spiral, 250 to 450. This is probably the Slime Against Humanity builds that care about number of cards in the yard, making them cheaper. Maybe it's Mothman plus Slime Against Humanity, and folks figuring that Locket fits in neatly into that package.
Yeah, it's just one mana, and for every spell with the same name, it costs one less. Commander doesn't usually care about that, but here we are. You can play as many Slime Against Humanity as you want, and when that thing starts costing green and you're getting 4/4s and 5/5s real quick, it's a good time.
Morbid Opportunist Surge Foils were your pick last week, going $3 to $6, 100% gains. Very few copies left on TCG Player. I did snap some off in Japan in both English and Japanese Surge Foil, so hopefully the market will hold on those. Always a good card in black decks when you can get that incremental value turn after turn. Charismatic Conqueror is a similar kind of card, providing value if your opponents don't put their artifacts and creatures into play tapped. You get 1/1 vampires. This is an LCC card, so a commander card from the Caverns of Ixalan release this fall, going $11 to $22. It's the top LCC card on EDH Rec, which is probably driving the move. 21,000 decks so far are using it, and that is 100% gains on the week.
Yeah, it's a great card. We talked about it when the set was spoiled. It's just 2 mana for an absolutely ridiculous card that, you know, it's got vigilance, but you get just a ton of tokens. Nobody wants their stuff to come in tapped. And if you're getting free vampire tokens, I'm sure you can find a way to abuse that.
Lots of good taxing effects in the format at present. You can mess with people with this and Smothering Tithe and
Lotho the Sheriff.
Yeah, as well as the Cambal and several other cards in this vein. It all adds up in those black-white decks. Cyberman Squadron out of Doctor Who, $4 to $8.50, 112% gains. Again, Mr. House, Daleks also makes use of it, Urza, Brea. Giving your artifact creatures, not Squadron, Myriad, is pretty wild when it gets going.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun to just copy everything up.
Also have Endurance Bobblehead, $1.75 to $4. This is just regular copies. I think people are taking a swipe at bobbleheads, figuring people might want full sets of them. This is going to be similar to the Nazgul, potentially. But these things are nowhere near, in regular form, as rare as the Nazgul were in Lord of the Rings, right?
Right. So with the Nazgul, you had to roll the Nazgul slot, and you had 1 of 9 versions to choose from. This is 7 separate cards, so they're all equally rare, and they're all, you know, if you can get several bobbleheads in play, you're golden. But remember that you can't do things like Maskwood Nexus or Changelings to make your bobblehead count higher. You need actual artifacts with the subtype like equipment.
Yeah, and they are uncommons that are found in the mist.
Doesn't really matter, but yeah.
Yeah. Luck Bobblehead, similarly, $250 to $650. That's probably a Mr. House thing. Component Pouch out of AFC, similar. Mr. House, $1.30 to 325, 225%. Then you've got Comet, Stellar Pup, Borderless, Edit of Infinity. This is just all the cards that roll dice, naturally. $5 to $20, 300% gains on Mr. House. A lot of this feels very spec-driven to me. It's all, you know, a package of cards all being targeted in a similar time frame. Combination of natural demand and speculation demand. So you want to sell into that hype for sure while you can and before people move on from the Mr. House builds. Danny Pink, Extended Art, out of Doctor Who, $5 to $20. Probably Wise Mothman and the other EDH generals that care about plus one counters. I've certainly added this to Atraxa creature counters because drawing cards anytime a creature with a counter on it deals damage is a completely reasonable effect in those builds.
Fair and fun.
Likewise, we've got Atomize Showcase Surge Foil, a card I was buying up both English and Japanese copies over in Japan last week, going $12 to $50, 316% gains. Combination of EDH play, I would imagine, across the various commanders that care about proliferation, because this destroys something and then proliferates, and the Surge Foils, of course, being the rarest of the available options. I don't know that this can hold $50, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it end up in the $20 to $30 range, and people got in as low as $6 to $8, I think.
I was going to say that, as you and I have talked about, the showcases in Fallout, they look really cool. They put an interesting visual effect on there, so it looks more textured than it actually is. It's got that grainy screen line thing going on. And it just looks real awesome. And I think you're right. It won't hold $50, but it is something worth looking at and remembering that these showcase foils.
Lumbering Mega Sloth, making some waves in Legacy testing as a potentially gigantic cheap creature a la Hogak, going $1 to $7 in regular versions, 600% gains. And the top gainer of the week is Circuits Act, not Circus, Circuits. Galaxy foils out of Infinity, $1 to $8. That's going to be a Mr. House dice card as well. Moving on over to Top Magic Online Movers of the Week, we've got Snuff out of Mercadian Masks, going 9.55 ticks to 14.28 on the back of, I think it regularly sees play in Legacy, but I suspect there was a big Pauper tournament this weekend, and I think Snuff out's a common, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you are correct.
Let me just double check that.
Plus, it's a really great answer to these Lumbernaut decks. The Slumbernaut, what's it called again? The Mega Sloth, excuse me.
Yeah, so Snuff Out is an uncommon in Doctor Who, but was originally a common in Mercadian Masks. Similarly, the rest of the big movers in Magic Online were related to Pauper this weekend. Flaring Pain out of Judgment, 4.34 to 7.21 ticks, 66% gains. And then Sunscape Familiar out of Planar Chaos, 2.72 to 4.80, 76% gains. Sliding on over to cards to watch, I'm coming back from my vacation week with a couple of ideas. I'm liking where that Waste Not deck is heading in Pioneer, and it's also worth flagging that 40,000 reported decks on EDH Rec. Basically, if you're doing a discard matters theme in black in EDH, you're probably running Waste Not. And it's got a really cheap copy in the Wilds of Eldraine Enchanting Tales. But it has a really cool copy out of a recent secret lair with a bunch of zombies on it that looks really sick. And those foils are down to 20 to 25 listings or so in near mint, starting at around $12 or $13. And I would imagine that any amount of Waste Not action for between Pioneer and EDH over the next 6 months or so, as long as that deck stays in the Pioneer format, is going to get to the point where these are dragged up into the $20 plus range pretty easily.
I see where you're coming from, and it is definitely the rarest copy you can get. Like you mentioned the Enchanting Tales version. There are 300 some odd copies available on TCG of the Enchanting Tales version, so that's going to take a long time to move. So this does have the advantage of a lot less copies out there of this particular art. It's already pricey, so it's already got that, I forget the word I want, but there's only 50 vendors. There's almost nobody with lots of copies. This seems quite reasonable to go, what are you calling it to go? 12 to 22? Yeah, this should get there.
Did you click foil? Because foil vendors near mint, I'm only seeing 22 listings total.
Oh, you're right. I did not click foil. Oh, good point. Good point.
Yeah. So we're.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's a much better. Yeah. Much better number.
and the ramp up to 20 is looking pretty steep. Like only 10, 15, 20 copies in the North American market at this sub 15 price point, and then it's going to start pumping, I think. And it is the coolest art, and I'd be surprised if they, given that they have given us both a secret layer and a supplemental inclusion in a standard set recently, I would imagine they'll leave this alone for a few years.
Probably. We don't take anything for granted these days, but that seems as likely as any other outcome.
All right, what's your first selection this week?
My first pick this week is another Surge Foil regular frame in Securitron Squadron. I adore this card. I want to play it in most of my decks. In case you're not aware, it's 2 mana for a 2/2 robot. It's got vigilance, and when a creature token comes into play, put a 1/1 counter on it. But in addition to it just being like really great with all of your tokens, it has Squad 3. So if you pay 5 mana, that means you get 2 copies of this bad boy, and that means each of your tokens is going to come in with 2 counters. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of ways to turn your tokens into mana and do foolish things. So this copy is hard to pull. As we've talked about, Surge Foil regular frames drop about one every 270 or 290 collector booster packs. So this is a tough pull. Surge Foil showcase frame is basically sold out. It's around $30. That's pretty neat, but there's only like a handful of those available. This one's got room to grow still, especially because there's no other sweet version to chase. Right now you can find them around $9, and I'm picking them to hit $20 sometime in the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, I could buy these. I just built a black-white tokens deck, and I would want this card for sure. The only issue I have with this card is there's no good art. It's all very wacky. In fact, the best art that's related is the Yes Man Personal Securitron. Because right. That one is like zoomed in and pretty well rendered, so it really like milks the wackiness, but the other ones are underwhelming. The good news is there's no good art, so there's no bad art. They're all kind of roughly blah, so I guess people will just reach for whichever one strikes their fancy and fits into their deck. So if they're building foil, they'll get maybe the Surge Foil regular like you're predicting. Maybe they'll just get the Foil Showcase.
The Foil Showcase is another winner. Like I said, I like the way that it shines, but there's a ton more of those copies available. Let me see what the actual number is. In the showcase, we're looking at 131 vendors. That's a lot. No mega walls of it, thankfully, but it would take a while for the showcase regular foils to drain out. And I just think that there's so much fewer of the Surge Foils that they'll drain a lot faster. Plus, we've seen Surge Foils get targeted left and right ever since they became a regular thing, so this seems pretty solid.
All right, I can buy it. My second selection is Archdruid Charm Foil Extended Art. I've been hoping this was going to get down to like $10 sub. It just does not seem like it's headed in that direction. This is already it's the top rare on EDH Rec from MKM. It's in 12,000 decks already. 4% of all green decks are running it. And you can get them for about 16 or 17 North American market. You might be able to find them cheaper in Japan and in Europe. I have a feeling these are going to end up in the mid-30s. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to remain patient on North American copies. Probably going to dabble in Japan for now and then reassess shortly. But I won't be surprised if these slide up into the $20 plus range and end up at 35 in, say, 12 to 18 months.
That seems totally reasonable. There's decks that want to play it. It does a lot of different great things. You are right that your lowest entry point has probably passed. You were looking at around $13 two months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it might trend a little lower, but there shouldn't be much stopping you. There's a couple people with small walls. We got to come up with a word for the small walls. But you've only got 24 vendors. 5 of them have more than one copy. Once the price starts going up, like you're really incentivized to move in on it. So I can see this being a thing. What do you got it? 17 to 35 for the double up. That sounds right in the next year. You know, there's always a chance of secret layers and stuff, but this seems pretty solid considering it just came out and it's got such a mana cost that makes it difficult to play.
I mean, we've seen good EDH cards, rare foil extended art, languish for long periods of time in the past, unless they were super mega staples like Fable of the Mirror Breaker. But MKM is just a generally lower print run. And there's only 30 listings for this card, and there are, the only major wall I can see is 20 copies sitting at $20. And no, sorry, 13 copies sitting at $20.41. Other than that, this looks like a pretty straightforward ramp up to me, and I'm going to be very surprised if this doesn't hit target in the year.
I'm with you on that. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, your final selection.
My other pick this week is a card that is great in Mr. House. I have it in my Mr. House deck that I built back in, you know, late October. Is Wand of Wonder, the card out of, you know, Battle for Baldur's Gate where we had all the dice rolling. 3 and a red for an artifact, 4 tap, roll a d20, and each opponent exiles cards from the top of their library until they hit an instant or sorcery, and you may cast up to X of those cards as copies. So, I'm sorry, you know, you get to just cast it, and depending on what you rolled, you get to cast 1, 2, or 3 of the revealed cards. So you can get a lot of value out of this without trying very hard. It's a lot of fun to play, and it does everything that you really want a deck to do. Plus, it plays well with the assorted commanders who have the exile theme and want you to play stuff from exile. Right now, you can get foils of the regular frame for about $250, and I think between Mr. House and the other exiling stuff, there's a good chance those bump up to around $7. We've also got an extended art promo. We've also got a bundle version, but none of these are super deep, and this one is just the best price, and I feel it's going to move the best in terms of where it's got to go from here.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense. I mean, it's just a question of how quickly it can drain out. How many copies are we looking at currently?
We got 35 vendors for the bundle, and then we've got 46 people selling the regular frame foil. No, I'm sorry, reverse those. The regular frame foil is 35 vendors, and the bundle foil vendors is 46.
Gotcha.
And nobody's got huge copies. Huge walls, I mean.
Let's see how many copies have been selling last week or so on TCG Player. It looks like today alone moved 5 copies, and it was pretty similar for the last few days. So, I mean, certainly it looks like Mr. House is putting some pressure on here, and it wouldn't be surprising to me if this follows some of the other mid-tier house cards that are just automatic includes in that deck.
It's so good. So good. I enjoy my Mr. House deck so much because you get to roll dice and do cool things anyway. So, yeah, I'm for it.
The only thing about Mr. House is if you're going to take that to the table with your friends on a regular basis, you better get quick at rolling the dice and resolving things because you are automatically in a dice rolling deck going to be taking turns twice as long as everybody else.
We try not to play too much solitaire. That's true. That's very true. Yes. I don't want to sit around and wait.
Alrighty. We're going to weekly topic. It's been a little bit since we checked in with the top commanders of the week and month, so let's take a look at what is justifying some of that movement we just took a look at. Wise Mothman, Mr. House, and Caesar Legion's Emperor are the 1, 2, and 3 top commanders on EDH Rec as of the last week. Wise Mothman has 1,440 decks. Mr. House is second at 821. Caesar Legion's Emperor, the Mardu Tokens commander, is 733 decks. So a pretty solid showing of Fallout commanders connecting, I think, in a bigger way than we saw with Doctor Who. Although I was always very dubious as to whether EDH Rec was properly representing the Doctor Who commander data because of how I was of the impression they were having trouble parsing the partner mechanic stuff.
Right.
To get
the Doctor's Companion.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of the builds that were getting made for Doctor Who included a companion, as opposed to being individual commanders. They never seemed to show up in the data here, even like low down in the data. So it just seemed to me like they were just not capable of parsing the data. And I got to follow up with Jason and see what's up with that. Voja jaws the Conclave out of MKM, still hanging in there at 723 decks, so pretty much neck and neck with Caesar. Very powerful commander that I've heard lots of people complaining about. Atraxa still hanging out in the top 10, as she tends to do. Number 5 this week, with just under 700 decks built. Pantalazza, Sunfavored, one of my favorite decks built in the last few months, at 600 decks this week. The Ur-Dragon, one of your beloved decks, at 588, 7th for the week. Ishin, Two Heavens as One, is one of Sloane's big decks lately, 518 builds this week. And then Sauron the Dark Lord, another Sloane build, 500 decks. And Miriam Sentinel Worm at 467. So we've still got two dragon commanders in this top 10. Some attack triggers, some multifaceted Atraxan, Mothman builds, tokens from Caesar and Voja, and dice rolling from Mr. House, and cascade action from Pantalazza.
It's good stuff all around. The Mothman has made some interesting cards spike. I made a pick for it last week in Inexorable Tide. But really giving you a way to be a mill deck and a win condition, which these decks really wanted. And it's disgustingly easy for the Mothman to just get everything counters-based going nuts, because they just mill all the time, and you trigger it every turn, and all of a sudden your creatures are much huger than they were just one turn cycle ago if they managed to survive. I was playing against this the other day at my local store, and I was impressed and horrified all at once, which is, you know, the commander experience I want to be having.
I also note that the Master Transcendent comes in at rank 23 here, and I don't think I read this card properly the first time. When it enters the battlefield, target player gets two rad counters. It's a 2/4 for 4 in Sultai colors. You can tap it, put target creature card in a graveyard that was milled this turn onto the battlefield under your control. It's a green mutant with base power and toughness. I was thinking about this as testing this in Muldrotha, where it seemed like it would be good. But I didn't realize that this also can be stealing your opponent's creatures out of their yard.
Yep.
And those rad counters start going off the turn. Well, I guess the first round of rad counters is going to go off in between your turn cycle. So Master is not going to be able to respond to any of that. So you're going to have to... You have to have additional mill potential, unless you want to just mess with your own cards.
Right. You need some ways to enable some hasty goodness on the Master so that you can get full value out of it. But you're going to have a lot of ways to mill people anyway. You just need to keep this in play. And honestly, I could see myself building a Master deck with just, you know, 40 ways to keep the Master alive and 20 ways to mill everybody and just say, I'm going to play all of your creatures. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Alrighty, we got a chance at a tight 40 minutes this week, so I'm going to go ahead and grab that. Where can folks find you online, my friend?
You can find me online at Twitter at Word of Commander, as well as my articles every Friday on mtgprice.com.
And you folks can find me on Twitter at MGGCritic, as well as via my occasional articles on MGGPrice.com and my constant haunting of the Pro Trader Discord. I'd also like to remind our listeners to check out the MGGPrice.com Pro Trader service. For just $9.99 a month or $109.99 per year, you can get early access to this podcast, fantastic articles by the best MGG finance minds in the business, low-cost group buys, and a super active Discord forum that will drive better returns and save you money playing Magic the Gathering.
Once again, MGG Fast Finance is proudly sponsored by Cool Stuff, Inc., where you can find all sorts of cool, nerdy stuff in stock, including all the best in Magic the Gathering singles, sealed product, and a plethora of other collectibles. Please use the promo code FINANCE5, that's finance with the number 5, during checkout at CoolStuffInc.com to save 5% off your order and support this podcast. That's it for today, James, but you know what's happening tomorrow, right?
I do believe it's OTJ preview season, is it not?
It is. We got previews and we got secret lairs coming. It's going to be a busy week next week.
Alrighty. We'll have plenty of cowboys and tumbleweeds to talk about next week. For the time being, thank you, Cliff. Thank you to the listeners. And we'll see all of you next week on another episode of MTG Fast Finance.